She was a wine-tasting, weird-but-delicious-as-fuck conceptual dinner kind of person. "Hey, man." Sammy clamped a hand on Trey's shoulder and bared his teeth in a semblance of a smile. "Aaron's looking for you."
"Really?"
Trey glanced around.
"He looks busy to me."
Damn it. Aaron was indeed busy whispering sweet nothings in Melissa's ear by the pool. "He got bored waiting for you," Sammy lied. "I'd check in with him now. It seemed pretty urgent." Trey's gaze flitted between Sammy and Olivia. A slow smirk took over his face.
"Sure, dude."
He kissed Olivia on the cheek and whispered something that caused her to laugh again before he sauntered off, whistling a jaunty tune. "What's so funny?" Sammy demanded, inexplicably irritated.
"Nothing."
Olivia squashed her smile.
"You better have a good reason for chasing away my dance partner. We both know Aaron wasn't looking for him."
"I know no such thing. And is that what you call what you two were doing? Dancing? Looked more like groping to me." She lifted a perfect dark brow.
"Jealous?"
"Not even in your dreams."
"I hate to break it to you, but you have no place in my dreams."
"You sure about that?" Sammy stepped closer, challenge glinting in his eyes. Olivia's chin lifted.
100%.
"You're lying." Sammy encircled her waist with one arm and brought her close until their bodies pressed flush against each other. He hadn't drunk much today, but he'd had enough. His thoughts were muddled, and instead of taking a rational course of action, like staying the fuck away from the one woman with the power to undo him, here he was, holding her close and breathing in her fresh, intoxicating scent. The music and chatter faded away until all he could hear was the thud, thud, thud of his heart, beating a rhythm as wild and unpredictable as the charged molecules in the air. Olivia's face bore a pale pink flush from her drinks, and her eyes shone beneath the darkening skies as she stared back at him, her lips slightly parted. In that instant, they weren't Sammy and Olivia, ex-lovers locked in a silent standoff on a summer California night. They were Sammy and Olivia, slick with sweat and heady with alcohol, dancing the hours away in a Shanghai nightclub. He blinked, and they morphed into Sammy and Olivia, entangled in passion on lust-drenched sheets. Blink. Sammy and Olivia sneaking kisses in dark, intimate corners of dark, intimate restaurants in New York. Blink. Sammy and Olivia lying on the grass, staring up at the stars and weaving dreams of what their futures would look like. They hadn't discussed how those futures would intertwine or for how long. It had seemed like a silly question, as irrelevant as asking whether the sun would rise the next day or whether the ocean would kiss the shores. There was an infinitesimal chance it wouldn't happen, but it was for all the intents and purposes a foregone conclusion. What fools they'd been.
"What are you doing?"
Olivia didn't wrap her arms around Sammy as any woman in her current position would, but she didn't pull away either. "Dancing."
"We're not moving."
"It's not that kind of dance." Olivia's breath quickened. He could hear it, feel it, practically taste it. Sammy's eyes dropped to her mouth and traced a hungry path over the sensual curves of her lips, the delicate cupid's bow punctuating her top lip, the lush fullness of her bottom lip, the soft pinkness that he knew from experience would blossom into a passionate red under the right ministrations. A nip here, a graze of the teeth there, and she'd look properly loved.
"Sammy."
His name came out as a breathless sigh, its purpose trapped somewhere between a plea and a warning. He hardened immediately, to the point where his erection threatened to punch a hole through his jeans. Lust roared in his veins and drowned out everything else, the doubts, the insecurities, the voices warning him what a bad fucking idea this was. He'd been full of bad ideas lately, and he couldn't bring himself to care. Sammy fisted her hair with his free hand and tugged her head back. "Say my name again." He half expected her to fight him, but Olivia obeyed without hesitation.
"Sammy."
This time it came out as a whimper.
He couldn't have stopped what happened next if Zeus himself came down from the heavens and ordered him to cease and desist. Sammy groaned and dipped his head. Olivia arched into him, her eyes fluttering closed. Just one taste, he thought. Then I'll get her out of my system once and for all. Reason and willpower had fled, leaving only denial in its wake. Sammy and Olivia's mouths were centimeters apart. His breath whispered across her lips before he claimed.
Fuck!
Something massive hurtled itself into Sammy and knocked him flat on his ass. Since he was still holding on to Olivia, she crashed down with him, or rather, she crashed down on him. Face to face, knees straddling his hips, her breasts right in front of his eyes. His cock twitched with excitement. Sammy was half tempted to roll them over, pin her to the hard ground, and finish what he'd started, but the fall had hammered some sense into his head. The lust-drenched fog enveloping him gradually faded, and he exhaled a sharp breath. He and Olivia weren't alone in their little world, where the past couldn't touch them and the future remained a hazy mirage. They were lying on the floor, limbs entangled in front of dozens of bemused partygoers. He'd been this close to kissing Olivia, and they would have had to go home afterward and either pretend it hadn't happened or act awkward as hell around each other for the rest of her stay. The other options weren't options at all. Fuck buddies? Fuck no, not with an ex. That was like pouring gasoline on bone-dry wood, an explosion waiting to happen, and not in a pleasurable, orgasmic way. Rekindled relationship? Impossible. They'd broken up for a reason, and that reason still existed. Olivia stared down at him. Her eyes had cleared too, though Sammy detected vestiges of her earlier desire. The spell had broken, but neither wanted to acknowledge the death of a dream. Their furry interloper took care of that problem for them. Milo's sharp bark shattered what remained of the bubble around Sammy and Olivia. Sammy turned his head and leveled the adorable 70-pound menace with an aggrieved glare. Dude, seriously? Milo barked again, his tongue hanging out, his tail wagging with sheer joy. Apparently, he now had three favorite hobbies: playing fetch, chasing squirrels, and cock-blocking his human dad's friends. Speaking of which, Aaron's feet entered Sammy's field of vision, and when Sammy cranked his head up, he confirmed the blonde wore the exact smirk he'd imagined he would wear. Olivia scrambled off him, and Sammy mourned the loss of her warmth before he pushed himself off the ground.
"Didn't mean to interrupt."
Aaron's gaze moved from Sammy to Olivia and back again. Amusement warred with trepidation in his eyes.
"You didn't. Your dog did."
Sammy reached down and ruffled the golden retriever's fur, earning himself another tail wag. Milo was too damn cute to stay mad at. Depending on how one looked at it, he may have even saved Sammy from committing a massive mistake.
"He does that a lot,"
Aaron said in a wry tone that made Sammy wonder how many times Milo had interrupted his parents doing the deed. He didn't want to know.
"Anyway, figured you guys wouldn't want to miss the fireworks."
Aaron's smirk widened.
"The ones in the sky, I mean."
Sammy glared at his so-called friend while red washed over Olivia's cheeks. He'd been so caught up in their moment, he hadn't noticed the pyrotechnics lighting up the sky. They were too far out in the suburbs to catch the city's fireworks show, but Aaron had his own supplies. The other guests had set up camp on the other side of the backyard where no trees blocked the view, and they'd dragged over enough lounge chairs and pillows to make the corner look like an outdoor slumber party. Sammy couldn't believe he'd missed the migration. That was what Olivia did to him, made him blind and deaf to everything that wasn't her, proving once again how dangerous she was. To his relief and disappointment, she excused herself and slipped inside the house, ostensibly to use the bathroom. But he wouldn't be surprised if he didn't see her again until it was time to leave.
"Don't," he warned when Aaron opened his mouth. "I wasn't going to say anything."
"Uh-huh.
I mean it. I already warned you earlier, and you're a grown man."
Aaron fell silent for a moment before adding,
"You know what you're doing."
Sammy tilted his head up and watched the lights paint the night sky in a kaleidoscope of colors, his cock still semi-hard, his skin still tingling with electricity.
I sure hope so.
Chapter 11. The town car smelled like leather and expensive cologne, courtesy of Michael, who remained quiet as he skimmed through the Ty Winstock dossier Olivia had delivered last week. Other than the rustle of paper as he turned a new page, the company car taking them from the office to Avenue Steakhouse was silent. Olivia stared out the window, counting to 10 in her head to keep her mind off the nerves buffeting her stomach. Tonight was her chance to make a big impression on her boss. Even though she planned to move back to New York after she got her MBA, Michael was a managing director and a trusted voice. His recommendation would move her that much closer to the vice presidency she craved.
What do you think of the San Francisco office?
Michael's deep voice rumbled through the quiet and startled Olivia out of her fantasies of the future. Striding into the boardroom, suited up in badass Armani, kicking Wall Street ass during the day and coming home at night to a beautiful home and gorgeous husband with whom she'd have all the explosive, kinky sex she liked. Somewhere down the line, there'd be children. Even further down the line, she'd be a CEO, gracing the covers of Forbes and Fortune and carving a legacy for herself as one of the few women who rose to the top of the finance food chain through sheer grit, intellect, and perseverance. She had it all planned out. But first, she'd have to survive this dinner. It's different from New York, Olivia said carefully. That's to be expected. There are inherent cultural differences between the East and West Coast, but I'm grateful for the opportunity to work here this summer. It's a great way to connect with other branches of the firm and meet new colleagues. Whether she liked said colleagues was another matter. The key to evasion: provide a parallel answer that sounded like what the questioner wanted to know without actually answering anything.
True, Michael agreed. What about the people? How are you getting along with the team?
The men are pigs, and the only other woman seems to be allergic to conversation. They suck, and I hate them. They're brilliant, Olivia said smoothly. I learn something new every day. When it came to their jobs, every employee at PHC was smart as hell. And she did learn something new every day. For example, a few weeks ago, she learned Logan was a cheating bastard. The other day, she learned Cassidy could stare right through you like you weren't even there. It was pretty impressive.
That's good. I've heard great things about you from Kevin.
Michael continued paging through the dossier.
Perform well this summer, and you have a bright future ahead of you in the company.
Olivia's heart kicked against her chest. Kevin was a partner, her boss's boss's boss. She hadn't interacted much with him in New York, and she hadn't been sure he knew who she was beyond the basic fact she worked at the firm. She certainly hadn't expected him to say great things about her. He wasn't involved in her day-to-day work, and she'd never presented before him. What could he possibly have said?
She was dying to know.
But since she couldn't ask Michael, she settled for a demure, "Thank you, I won't let you down," while secretly doing cartwheels in her head. Vice presidency, here I come. The town car pulled up to the Avenue Steakhouse, a grand building whose sleek lines and understated colors reflected its customers. Wealthy, powerful, discreet. Avenue had played host to many a power meeting since its inception 25 years ago. Olivia glimpsed herself in the dark glass windows as they entered the hushed venue. She wore her favorite gray tweed theory sheath cinched at the waist with a narrow black belt, a tailored black blazer, black Wolford stockings, and black Prada pumps. Her hair fell in a sleek, smooth waterfall past her shoulders, and tiny pearl studs graced her ears. She looked every inch the professional. Olivia had internalized the fashion rules for women in finance, some official, others unspoken, and used it to her advantage. Dues, sheath dresses, nice silk blouses, classic heels or flats,
stockings, bags large enough to hold pitchbooks. Don'ts, cardigans, unless it was casual Friday, which was an increasingly common perk. Classic button-down shirts, the buttons almost always gape. Open-toed shoes and sandals, anything flashy with logos. Outside of work, Olivia dressed however she wanted. But she'd drawn a line between her personal and professional lives, and ne'er the twain shall they meet. The host showed them to their table, and Ty Winstock arrived soon after. She gave him a quick, discreet once-over, eager to soak in anything she could about the elusive Mosaic co-founder. There were almost no public photos of him from recent years, and even fewer interviews. The man was an enigma. Winstock. It seemed wrong to think of him by his first name. Resembled a modern hippie more than a billionaire. Tall and lean, he'd gathered his brown hair into a short ponytail, and a neatly trimmed beard covered his razor-sharp jawline. Bright and inquisitive blue eyes peered out from beneath thick, dark brows. Beneath the scruff, he was handsome in that quiet, intellectual way you didn't notice unless you really looked. Instead of a suit or a dress shirt and pants, he wore a white V-neck t-shirt under a black hoodie with Mosaic's logo emblazoned on the back, black jeans and designer sneakers. Standard tech mogul wear. The outfit was a blatant violation of Avenue's dress code, but none of the staff seemed keen on kicking Silicon Valley's latest golden boy out. Ty, good to see you. Michael grasped the other man's hand in a firm handshake. How is Nevada?
Hot.
Winstock's bland tone revealed not an ounce of emotion. His eyes flicked to Olivia, and he stepped around Michael to hold out his now free hand. Ty. Olivia. Her heart thundered against her chest as she shook his hand. She tried not to think about the fact that she was in the presence of a man worth $1.2 billion, give or take a few hundred million, depending on how the markets were faring. Winstock was the highest level client she'd ever met in person, and it was all she could do not to freak out. Calm down, you got this. Olivia had been around famous people before. Heck, Chris was engaged to one of the biggest movie stars on the planet. Then again, the future of Olivia's career didn't hinge on what action hero Nate Reynolds thought of her. Once they placed their orders and made the requisite small talk, Michael launched into his spiel about why Winstock should invest with Pine Hill Capital. Most pitches involved a presentation of some sort, but according to Olivia's research, Winstock hated traditional pitch decks. He was a talk-it-over-during-a-meal kind of guy. Olivia, who was usually outspoken in company meetings and client calls, let Michael take the lead. He was her boss, and she didn't want to say something off base and fuck things up. Winstock was quiet, interrupting only to clarify a point or ask an incisive question. By the end of dinner, it was unclear whether he was sold on PHC or thought everything Michael said was bullshit. He turned to Olivia as the server arranged their desserts, flourless chocolate torts with orange essence on the table.
Tell me why I should invest with PHC instead of a bigger firm. You have 2 minutes, he said.
Like Michael hadn't spent the past hour doing exactly that.
In your words, not anyone else's.
Olivia's fork froze halfway to her tort before she regained her composure. She set the utensil down and unlocked her phone, conscious of Winstock's unwavering blue eyes and Michael's burning stare. This was it. Her test. Make it or break it. After she set the timer, she smiled coolly and said, Michael did an excellent job of outlining our metrics and previous success, so I won't go over those points again. I'll be honest, we're not the biggest fish in the sea, but bigger isn't always better. Pine Hill is a family, both employees and clients. We manage our clients' portfolios like they're our own, and because of that, we're incredibly selective about which individuals we bring into the fold. She outlined the personalized perks that PHC offered its high net worth investors, and tapped her phone screen after she finished.
25 seconds left. 20 if you deduct the time it took for me to set the timer. Another smile. As you can see, we're also efficient and sensitive to the demands on our clients' time. I assure you, Pine Hill Capital would be happy to keep our briefings to 2 minutes or less should you sign with us. The subtle dig, couched in outward respect, was bold. But Olivia sensed Ty Winstock was not a man who held a high opinion of ass-kissers or yes-men, yes-women. He was also, as her painstaking research indicated, big on community and company culture. His employees reported the man went to great lengths to treat them like family. Birthday celebrations for everyone from the janitors to the C-suite executives. Holiday parties with extravagant gifts paid out of Winstock's own pocket. Monthly town halls, the works. While Michael choked on his drink, Winstock pushed back from the table. Olivia's heart resumed its thundering. Shit, she read him wrong? Was he so offended that he was walking out before he ate dessert? No one passed on dessert unless they had to. Mental images of her career going up in flames plagued her as she fought not to hyperventilate. She could already hear her mother's voice in her head. Your sister would have never done something so foolish at a business dinner, Olivia.
Good pitch. I'll think about it.
A fleeting smile touched Winstock's lips. His first of the night.
I'll be in London for the next 3 weeks. I'll let you know my decision once I return. Enjoy dessert.
You're skipping dessert? Olivia blurted. Another smile. This one containing more amusement than the first.
I don't have a sweet tooth.
With that, the tech billionaire strode out of the restaurant and disappeared into the night.
Well,
Michael brought his coughing fit under control and cleared his throat.
That didn't end the way I expected.
I'm sorry, Olivia flushed. I shouldn't have gone rogue like that. It was unlike her, but Winstock was in the big leagues, and you didn't land someone like that as a client by being boring and conservative. You had to stand out. Michael waved her apology away.
It's fine. It was a good pitch. And your closer seemed to have intrigued him, which is the only reason it's okay.
He clarified, his expression growing sterner.
Let's keep the sass to a minimum next time.
Of course. Relief fizzled through her veins. Next time. Meaning she wasn't fired. Her career reconstructed itself after its earlier imaginary death in her mind.
Do you have any plans right now?
Michael asked after paying for the meal with his company card. Olivia froze for the second time that night. She couldn't read Michael's expression or tone. Where was he going with this? I was planning on calling it a night, she said carefully. Lots to do at the office tomorrow. I want to make sure I'm well rested.
Of course. I was going to ask if you wanted to drink after this nerve-wracking dinner, Michael chuckled. But that's probably not a great idea for a Monday night.
She smiled, relieved. Probably not. Thank God he wasn't pushing her to get drinks with him, or do anything else. That was the downside of being a woman in a male-dominated industry. You had to be extra careful whenever you were alone with someone of the opposite sex. Olivia refused to let those fears dominate her, but she wasn't an idiot. Her guard was always up, especially when she was with a male colleague outside the office, or even in the office. That went double if said male ranked above her in the firm's strict hierarchy. The tension dissipated from Olivia's shoulders as she waved goodbye to Michael and hailed a cab back to Sammy's house. It was dark when she arrived, except for the light in the entryway. He must have realized she wasn't home and kept it on for her. Such a Sammy thing to do. They hadn't discussed their near kiss over the weekend. While Aaron distracted Sammy at the barbecue, Olivia had fled inside the house and locked herself in the bathroom, where she'd spent half an hour debating how to handle her momentary lapse of judgment. The truth was, she hadn't been that drunk. Tipsy, perhaps, but not enough that it would have impaired her logic.
It had been something else that compelled her to drop her guard. Something she didn't care to examine. Apparently, neither did Sammy, because he'd acted like nothing had happened when she'd rejoined the party. Which is for the best. No need to upset the delicate balance of their relationship, or whatever the hell they had. Olivia was halfway to her room when her phone rang. Olivia? Her sister's cool voice, so similar to their mother's, flowed over the line.
I hope I'm not disturbing you.
No, I just got home. What's up?
Olivia was not in the mood to talk to Alina, but she might as well get it over with. I'd like to confirm whether you're attending my rehearsal dinner.
Jesus Christ. If one more person mentioned the dinner, Olivia was going to scream. Yes, I already told Mom I'm going.
She didn't mention that when I saw her this morning.
Take that up with her, not me.
Olivia.
This time, Alina's tone carried a gentle rebuke.
Mom is busy planning the wedding. Sometimes things slip her mind. You should have sent a physical RSVP.
I did. Olivia rubbed her temple. She could feel the beginnings of a headache coming on. It probably hasn't reached you yet, but I'm your sister. Of course I'll be there. She and Alina might not be close, but they were family. When Olivia was younger, she'd hero-worshipped her sister. 3 years her senior, Alina had excelled at everything she touched, and Olivia had wanted to be just like her. Beautiful, perfect, doted on by their proud mother. They'd been best friends before it became clear that Eleanor's love was limited and doled out based on which daughter she could brag about the most. Olivia and Alina's relationship had gradually transformed into a competition with no winner, at least not on paper. Both had graduated summa cum laude from Ivy League schools, Alina from Harvard, Olivia from Yale. Both had been class valedictorian and student body president in high school. Both excelled in their chosen fields, anesthesiology for Alina, finance for Olivia. But Olivia knew, deep down, that Alina was winning, because Alina always won. Perhaps it was because she was older, and therefore always a few steps ahead. Or perhaps it was because Eleanor had always favored her elder daughter. At the ripe old age of 29, Olivia was single and on her way to becoming an old maid in their mother's eyes. Alina had been engaged to Richard at 29. But they'd waited for her to complete her residency before going through with the actual wedding. Alina had completed medical school, and Olivia was only halfway through business school. But the kicker was, their mother fawned over Alina in a way she'd never done with Olivia, no matter how many A-pluses or promotions Olivia received. It was what it was. Olivia had made her peace with it a long time ago.
Coming to San Francisco. Alina said.
Olivia blinked. She'd been so wrapped up in her thoughts, she'd missed the first half of what her sister said.
What?
Alina responded with the tiniest sigh. It was amazing how much weariness one could pack into a gust of breath.
Mom, Richard, and I are coming to San Francisco, she repeated.
Why? When? The questions burst out with more horror than Olivia had intended. But if Alina was offended, she didn't let on.
Richard and I are thinking of moving there after we get married. I've been recruited by a private clinic that's based in San Francisco, one that would pay me double what I'm earning now, and we'd like a better feel for the city before I make my decision.
Olivia couldn't have been more stunned if Alina had told her she'd joined a cult and was traveling to California for a sacrificial ceremony beneath the full moon. Alina loved Chicago. She'd left only for school and had promptly moved back after she received her MD from Harvard. Olivia had been the one itching to break free from the confines of their hometown and escape their mother's crushing expectations.
Why didn't you tell me this before? And why is Mom coming with you?
Eleanor would never move out of Chicago. That was the seat of her power, where she'd established a name for herself as a grande dame of society and cultivated a circle of admirers and competitors who kept her days filled with drama, party planning, and expensive lunches at the Waldorf Astoria.
I just got the offer last week, Alina said. If we move, Mom will visit often, so she wants to look at houses with us. I thought you were just getting a feel for the city, not looking at houses already.
Houses are a part of the city, Olivia.
Olivia hated when Alina punctuated her sentences with her name. It was so freaking condescending. She was also cognizant of the fact that Eleanor had visited her only once when she'd lived in New York. But of course their mother would visit Alina often.
We'll be there in August, Alina continued. We're staying at the Z Hotel, but we should have a family brunch. I haven't seen you in a while, and you're one of my bridesmaids, not to mention my sister.
Maybe I'd see you more if I were your maid of honor. Olivia bit back her caustic reply.
Sure, she replied instead. Looking forward to it.
As much as I look forward to a root canal without anesthesia.
Excellent. Good night.
Good night. Olivia hung up and heaved a deep sigh as she looked around her room, which suddenly felt too quiet. She was still apartment hunting in her free time, but nothing that met her budget and requirements had surfaced yet. At this rate, she might as well stay at Sammy's house through the summer. The idea didn't freak her out as much as it should have. She'd seen Sammy's car in the driveway, which meant he was home. He was probably sleeping. He had early nights when he planned to go into the bakery the next day. Olivia was horrified to realize part of her was tempted to wake him up just so she had someone to talk to. Sammy was one of the best listeners she knew, and when they weren't sniping at each other, she loved talking to him. If they were dating, she wouldn't think twice of barging in his room and laying her troubles at his feet, not to mention rewarding him afterward with a blowjob. She'd done that in Shanghai more often than she cared to admit. Since they weren't dating, she settled for a few chapters of her latest erotica read instead. Reading was the closest thing she had to therapy without actually going to therapy. Plus, her first book club meeting was tomorrow, and she couldn't wait. Olivia needed new friends in the city stat. Otherwise, she'd go crazy. Or do something crazy. Like sneak into Sammy's room and finish where they'd left off on the 4th of July. Chapter 12.
I'm telling you, anal is so good if you do it right.
Natalie waved her arms and nearly whacked Kat in the face in her enthusiasm.
No way. Donna shook her head. I tried it once and it felt like I was dying.
Did you use lube?
Of course I use lube. Did you use enough lube? Donna pursed her lips.
Look, it doesn't matter. I'm down for BJs, sex in public places, rimming, whatever. But anal is a no-go.
Natalie huffed and turned to Olivia. What about you? Team anal, yes or no?
Now, that was a question Olivia never thought she'd have to answer. She cast an apologetic glance in Donna's direction.
Yes, if it's with the right guy.
Donna was right. It hurt like hell the first few times, but once she got used to it and understood the proper preparations, it'd become far more pleasurable. Olivia needed to trust the guy a lot to let him in the back door, though. To this day, the only person she'd had anal sex with was Sammy. Donna groaned at her answer, while Natalie and Tamara high-fived her. Kat merely smiled.
I knew I could count on you.
Natalie's eyes glittered with excitement.
I'm so happy you joined the club. We finally have a tiebreaker.
Natalie and Tamara were on Team Anal. Donna and Kat were not. Olivia was indeed the tiebreaker.
Plus, we like you, Kat added.
Yes, Natalie nodded. That too.
Olivia grinned, happily buzzed from her first jumbo-sized margarita.
I like you guys too.
2 hours into her first erotica book club meeting, and she was having a blast. The club was small. She was only the fifth member. But the other women had a playful camaraderie that instantly put her at ease. They'd welcomed her with open arms. And for the first time in months, she felt like she belonged. It was weird, because she'd only known them for a few hours, but she could already tell they were her people. Donna was a 36-year-old dental hygienist who'd founded the club last year because the other book clubs she'd been in were too boring. She was married and had the most infectious laugh Olivia had ever heard. Her bubbliness would give Olivia's preternaturally chirpy friend Courtney a run for her money. Kat, on the other hand, was quiet and observant. She was a PhD student studying comparative literature at UC Berkeley, and she possessed a dry sense of humor that Olivia took a shine to immediately. Kat was one of those women who was beautiful, but so unassuming you didn't notice until you looked closely and saw the shiny, honey brown curls, warm brown eyes, and delicate, lightly freckled features. Natalie was Olivia's age, the daughter of a major tech executive and an aspiring romance author in addition to being an avid romance reader. She proudly declared she could blaze through one or two books a day. With her razor-cut platinum bob, sharp cheekbones, and designer clothes, she resembled a Russian supermodel slash heiress. But her cold looks were at complete odds with her outgoing personality. Tamara, a freelance graphic designer, was the person Olivia never would have imagined read erotica or romance. She had spiky black hair, eyes so blue they looked violet, skin pale enough to qualify her as Edward Cullen's long-lost sister, and piercings in her left eyebrow, nose, and, judging by what Olivia could see through Tammy's thin cotton tank, nipples. She looked like she'd be way more into gothic horror or kick-ass action novels. But the minute the thought crossed Olivia's mind, she admonished herself for stereotyping. If someone saw Olivia on the street, they wouldn't think she read erotica either. On the surface, the book club members couldn't be more different, but they were all friendly, open, and non-judgmental. They'd spent the first hour of the club discussing that month's pick, a dark, erotic romance about a woman entering a BDSM relationship with her ex's father, before they segued into a general conversation about relationships and sex. The book had featured a hottest sin anal scene, hence why they'd started debating the pros and cons of the act. Kat's phone buzzed. She glanced down and flinched, her cheeks paling. "Who is it? That asshole again?" Natalie demanded. "Don't answer, Catty Cat. He doesn't deserve it." Kat's bottom lip disappeared between her teeth. "Yeah, but..." "No buts. He's your ex for a reason. And if he had a hot father, I'd tell you to do what Jamie did in the book and fuck him. The father, I mean." Kat snorted out a laugh. "That'll only take a few minutes, okay? I'll tell him I'm busy, and that'll be that, and I'll be right back." Natalie's face scrunched with frustration as the brunette disappeared outside so she could take the call away from the noise and general mayhem of the Catalina restaurant. Olivia was dying to know what was going on, but she didn't want to be nosy at her first meeting. Luckily, Donna filled in the blanks for her. "That was Ben, her ex-fiancé." The blonde made a face. "They were together for 6 years and all set to be married until Kat found him banging her best friend 2 weeks before the wedding." Olivia gasped. "No." "Yes," Tamara nodded, her piercings glinting with anger beneath the lights. "To make matters worse, he blamed her. Said she was always busy with school, never made time for him, so of course he got lonely, blah, blah, blah."
"Worst part is, Kat believed him," Natalie jumped in. "I mean, she dumped his ass, but she also feels guilty because his fucking gaslighting got into her head and she thinks it was partly her fault. She still carries a little torch for him, and the jerk keeps stringing her along by always calling her about stupid shit, whether she has one of his shirts, what the name of the restaurant they went to that one time was, probably so he can have a backup once he's done screwing his way through the city. Smug bastard thinks he can get her back with a snap of his fingers, and at this rate, he might be right." Olivia felt sick. That's horrible. Kat was so sweet. And even though she barely knew the woman, she knew she didn't deserve to be treated that way. "We keep telling her to cut him off, but she won't." Donna looked glum. "She's too damn nice. We..."
She fell silent as Kat returned to the table.
Sorry about that, the brunette said, cheeks flushed. I'm back.
I hope you told him to shove his cock through a woodcutter. Natalie shrugged at Kat's frown. What? A girl can hope.
After a short, uneasy silence, the women resumed their conversation about their favorite and least favorite sexual acts, making a conscious effort not to mention Kat's love life. Eventually, the tension disappeared, and they were laughing their asses off once more at Natalie's increasingly outrageous statements. By the time Olivia left the restaurant, she was several margaritas deep and grinning like a madwoman. The club met officially once a month, but she'd received a standing invitation to their weekly happy hours, where they met up just to chat and hang out. Book discussions now required. Whoever made it, made it. There was no pressure to attend. Olivia fully intended on joining, though she might scale back on the number of drinks. Was drinking this much on a work night out of character and a bad idea? Yes. Did she deserve a fun night out? Also, yes. Fuck it. She worked hard, and tonight was the first time in a year she'd vibed with other women who lived in the same city. She was still going to show up and kick ass in the office tomorrow. She'd just need a little more help than usual from aspirin. With that reassurance in mind, Olivia tiptoed into the house, not wanting to wake Sammy up. He worked crazy hours, and she was never sure if he had a regular day the next day or if he had to go into the bakery at unholy hours in the morning. Quiet, quiet, quiet. Thud! She flinched as she knocked over the coat rack in the front hall. The heavy brass tree toppled to the floor and landed on her toes. Damn it! Olivia let loose a string of colorful expletives as pain burst through her foot. She heaved the rack off and hopped on one leg while she raised her other foot and tried to massage away the throbbing ache. Freaking tree! I will murder you. I don't care if it's bad for the environment, she said, her drunk mind not processing the fact that it was a coat tree and not, in fact, an actual tree. I will melt you down and use your brass for jewelry, which I'll sell on Etsy for extra income, and I'll get rich and buy all your sister and brother and cousin trees and melt them down too, and... Olivia? The kitchen light flicked on, and she winced, blinking rapidly, while her eyes adjusted to the new brightness level. Sammy stood next to the counter with one eyebrow raised. His hair was tousled from sleep, and he was wearing those damn gray sweatpants again. The ones that hung so low on his hips they were in danger of falling off. No shirt. His penchant for distracting shirtlessness was worse than Matthew McConaughey's. His eyes moved from Olivia's frozen form, she was still clutching one foot in her hand, to the toppled coat rack and back again.
I see there's been an altercation in the entryway.
His mouth twitched with amusement.
It's your stupid tree!
She was technically the one at fault, but he didn't need to know that.
It got in my way.
Sammy walked over and righted the brass abomination.
I see the tree has gone rogue and attacked you while you were coming in. That's unacceptable. I'll give it a stern talking to in the morning.
Good. Olivia nodded, then narrowed her eyes. Wait, are you making fun of me?
Sammy's mouth twitched again.
I would never make fun of you.
Lies!
She released her foot and jabbed his chest with her finger. It was like poking a brick wall. A sexy brick wall. His skin was smooth and warm beneath her touch. An awareness sizzled in her lower belly. Olivia shook her head to clear the unwanted thoughts and immediately regretted it. The room spun, causing her to lose her balance. In her panic, she grabbed onto the nearest source of stability. A.K.A. Sammy. Her hands clutched his rock-hard biceps, and her body pressed against his naked, chiseled torso. The sudden urge to wrap herself around him like a vine curling around a tree trunk overwhelmed her. Olivia tilted her head up, and her stomach swooped and dipped faster than a roller coaster ride. because the look in Sammy's eyes? Hot enough to set the iceberg from Titanic on fire. A heavy ache blossomed between her legs, and her nipples tightened. She wondered if he could feel them through her thin bra and top. She wondered a lot of things, actually. Like whether Sammy was as good a kisser as he used to be, or if he'd gotten even better over the years. A pox on any woman he'd kissed who wasn't her. And if his tastes in bed had changed, or if he was still as adventurous as ever. Dear God, please. Olivia's thighs clenched when she remembered some of their reenactments of the scenes from her books. There was one scene in particular from tonight's book club pick that Sammy would knock out of the ballpark. He would look hot as hell in a CEO getup. Suit and tie, black-rimmed glasses, a nice watch on his wrist. Yum. Olivia found guys who wore watches hot as hell, especially if they paired it with a button-down shirt with the sleeves rolled up. Maybe it was because she valued punctuality? Whatever it was, it got her going faster than one of those cars in those Vin Diesel movies guys liked so much. The molten heat in Sammy's eyes turned to lava. Olivia. Her name came out as a hoarse rasp. Stop looking at me like that. She sniffed him discreetly. God, he smells good. Clean and fresh, with a hint of sandalwood. Like what? Let's get you to bed. You're drunk, he said, ignoring her question. No, I'm not, she slurred. Okay, maybe a little. But she only had, what, 3 margaritas? 3 was nothing, even if said margaritas had been jumbo-sized. On a scale of 1 to drunk, she was not, or something like that. Olivia squealed when the world tilted upside down and she found herself staring at the ceiling. The blood rushed to her head, precipitating what she suspected would be a massive headache in a few hours. What are you doing? Let me down! No, you might knock down the poor co-tree again. Sammy marched them down the hall toward her room. This is kidnapping! Yes, I'm kidnapping you inside your house and bringing you to your room, the horror, he said, tone dry. This isn't my house, Olivia blinked. The hallway looked so different upside down. Is that a smudge on the ceiling? How did that get there? She made a mental note to look for a stepladder so she could clean it tomorrow. This is your house. I'm only living here, temporarily. Her apartment search hadn't been going well, in the sense that Olivia had stopped searching. It was unlike her. Usually, she'd already have dozens of viewing appointments lined up. But work had been crazy. She'd get around to it, eventually. Sammy nudged her door open with his foot. How much did you drink tonight? I haven't seen you this hammered since K-Town karaoke. Olivia giggled, remembering her and Sammy's epic night in New York's Koreatown years ago. Their innocent dinner had segued into an hours-long party at a nearby KTV karaoke spot with a bunch of Russian tourists who'd ordered enough alcohol to down a large elephant. Sometime between knocking back vodka shots, blech, and belting out the lyrics to the Backstreet Boys' I Want It That Way, she and Sammy had snuck into one of the bar's bathrooms for sex. The bathrooms had been surprisingly clean, though Olivia had been too inebriated to dwell on the hygiene ramifications of their actions anyway. She didn't regret it. It had been the hottest sex of her life. That was a good night, she mumbled as Sammy set her down on her bed. We had a lot of good nights, didn't we? A small pause. Yes, Sammy said softly. We did. Olivia closed her eyes, breathing a sigh of relief when she felt Sammy unbuckle and tug off her shoes. She hadn't realized how constricting they were until they were off. Sammy? I'm sorry. He froze, his hand lingering close enough to her calf for the warmth to soak into her skin. Funny how a small almost touch could send her heart into palpitations.
For what?
There was a new, strange note in his voice. For New York. Olivia kept her eyes closed and sank into the comfort of her bed and the wells of her memory. She felt like she was in a dream, and that made it easier to get the words out. I think I've said this before. I don't remember. But anyway, I'm sorry for not believing in you, for lying and hurting you. You're the best man I know. You always have been, even in the moments when I hated you for hurting me back. Though I guess that's hypocritical of me.
She frowned at the thought.
There was a pronounced silence.
I appreciate that. And I'm sorry, too,
he said, still in that strange voice.
For the things I said.
I forgive you. Can we be friends again? Beyond the truce, I mean.
Olivia's lower lip wobbled.
I miss you. A lot.
She'd missed him for years. It wasn't something she would ever admit during the day. But under the cover of darkness, she couldn't have held back the truth if she tried.
Sammy had been her rock, her best friend, her cheerleader, and her partner in crime. He'd been the love of her life, and his absence had left a huge gaping hole in her chest. Even in the moments when she despised him, she'd missed him with an intensity that frightened her. His breathing sounded unsteady. Or maybe that was her heart beating a drumbeat she hadn't heard in a long, long time.
I'm right here.
Sammy moved her legs so he could drape the blanket over her.
Olivia may be drunk, but it didn't escape her notice that he'd avoided answering her question about being friends again. Real friends. Not friendly acquaintances the way they were now.
She opened her eyes, her gaze tracing over the strong lines of Sammy's profile. The lights were off, and she couldn't see his face clearly, but she'd memorized every feature. The deep chocolate eyes, the broad cheekbones, the firm, full lips and square jaw. That's not what I meant.
Sammy muttered something that sounded like, God help me.
He exhaled a long breath and adjusted the blanket so it was tucked securely around her.
Let's discuss this in the morning when you're sober.
I'm sober, Olivia hiccuped. Well, I'm the teensiest bit tipsy. Margaritas will do that to you, you know.
She flung her arms open dramatically.
Sammy.
Olivia.
A faint note of teasing entered his voice.
She pouted.
I don't like it when you call me that.
That's your name.
More amusement. She shook her head. You should call me Liv. That's what all my friends call me.
The intensity of his stare warmed her already flushed skin.
It was scorching in here, and all she wanted was to rip off her clothes and burrow herself into Sammy's delicious warmth. Which made no sense. Because she'd be trading heat for more heat. But Sammy's kind of heat sounded way better than suffocating beneath her comforter.
Is that what you really want? For us to be friends?
His hand lingered near her shoulder, and Olivia instinctively reached up and clasped it to her chest. He made a strangled noise, but didn't move away. Yes, she said dreamily. If she said it, it'd come true.
Hashtag manifestation.
Was it normal to want to have hot, sweaty sex with your friends? Well, one friend in particular whose name rhymed with Tammy? Tammy was a new friend. Friends were great. Olivia loved friends, especially her new book club ones. Now that she thought about it, perhaps the book club discussion was what had gotten her all hot and bothered. Sammy's current shirtless state only amplified her hot and botheredness. She shifted in her bed, wishing she was naked. Why was it so freaking hot? Olivia lifted Sammy's hand so she could throw off her covers. Turn up the AC. Turn down the AC.
Her brow knit in puzzlement.
Make it colder, she clarified.
I'm burning up.
Concern sharpened in his eyes. At 68 degrees.
Then why aren't you cold?
Because I was under my covers until someone knocked down a coat rack and woke me up.
She didn't dignify that with a response. It's not. I'm hot.
She cackled. That rhymes. Sammy rested his free hand on her forehead, and she sighed with contentment at his cool touch.
Jesus, you are burning up. How much did you drink?
Like 3 drinks. Olivia squinted one eye as she tried to remember.
4, 5, 10?
You could be sick. This feels more like an alcohol flush. How do you feel? Nauseous? Fatigued? Any abdominal pain?
He fired off the questions like he was a doctor. She thought about it. Horny.
He went still. So still, she couldn't hear him breathe.
What?
There went that strangled noise again.
Golden warmth. The good kind. Not the kind burning her skin. Melted and trickled throughout her body, sensitizing each nerve ending as it flowed past.
I went to my first erotica book club meeting tonight. Her eyelids drooped. It'd been a long day, but she didn't want to stop talking yet. She wanted Sammy to stay for a while longer. It was a good book. They had this scene where the couple has sex in his office. He blindfolds her with his tie and fucks her up against the glass. One way, so people outside couldn't see them, but she didn't know that. She hated it, but loved it. And she screamed so loud he had to cover her mouth with his hand so the rest of the office couldn't hear her.
The warmth in her lower belly pulsed as Olivia pictured the scene in her mind. She'd been wrong. She could hear Sammy breathing. Loud and ragged. Like he couldn't draw enough oxygen into his lungs.
Fuck.
He yanked his hand out of her so fast, Olivia would have stumbled had she been standing.
Go to sleep, Olivia.
Every inch of his muscular frame radiated tension. It filled the room, pressing into her eyes and causing her lids to droop further. Her body was primed and hungry for touch, but her mind was ready to knock the hell out.
I don't want to go to sleep yet. I want...
A huge yawn interrupted her train of thought.
I want... Another yawn.
What did she want? A lot of things. But at that moment, there was one thing she desired most.
How are you?
Olivia's voice faded as she lost her battle with exhaustion and sleep overtook her. Chapter 13. Olivia woke up in hell. An army of jackhammer-wielding assholes slammed against her skull in a torturous rhythm so loud she could feel her brain rattle. Her throat burned, and her stomach sloshed in a way that brought yesterday's dinner dangerously close to the surface. She needed to run to the bathroom before she upchucked all over the beautiful sheets in Sammy's guest room, but lead weights pinned her limbs to the bed. She wanted to close her eyes and drift back into slumber, where her aches and worries would disappear. But in the dim recesses of her mind, she realized it was Wednesday. She had to go to work. The thought of getting up, much less dressing, commuting to the office, and spending the entire day at her desk, staring at her computer and fending off inappropriate come-ons from Logan, made her want to die. You can do this, Olivia tried to say, but the words didn't come out, so she settled for a silent pep talk instead.
On the count of 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
She rolled onto her side. She'd moved, which was good, but she was still in bed, which was bad. Her stomach gurgled, and Olivia would have thrown up had it not been for sheer force of will. Hell no. No way was she puking all over her room. The smell of vomit lingered, even after you cleaned it, and the room was her sanctuary. She refused to taint it. Olivia stared at the drawn shades.
if she closed her eyes, she might not open them again for the next 20 hours. Summoned every ounce of willpower she had and lurched off the bed. Success! Now all she had to do was make it to the bathroom. Fuck, she rasped, her voice sounding sick and scratchy to her own ears. After an eternity, Olivia managed to half-stumble, half-lurch her way across the hall into the bathroom, where she promptly hurled her guts into the toilet. Just when she thought it was over, another wave of nausea overtook her, and she resumed the disgusting exercise. Sweat slicked her skin, hair stuck to her face, and her throat felt like it was scraped raw by razor blades. She wasn't sure how long she knelt there, puking out the contents in her stomach. But in the middle of her misery, she felt someone, obviously Sammy, because they were the only people in the house, gather her hair back from her face. It reminded her of her party days, when she, Farah, Courtney, and Chris would take turns holding each other's hair while they threw up after drinking too much. Maybe that was the problem. Olivia remembered only bits and pieces from last night, but she knew she'd imbibed more margaritas than she should have. It'd been a dumb move, drinking that much on a work night. She rarely fucked up like that, but Olivia had been so happy to have female friends nearby again that she'd slipped. But whatever monster was raging through her body felt more serious than a hangover. Besides, weren't you supposed to throw up the night you drank too much, not the morning after? Maybe. And there went her dinner again. Or maybe it was yesterday's lunch or breakfast. She couldn't possibly have any of the burger and fries from Catalina left in her stomach. After an eternity, the vomiting finally, blissfully ceased, and Olivia slumped on the floor. Sammy knelt until they were at eye level, worry etched all over his handsome face. Go away, Olivia moaned. She didn't want him to see her like this. She felt, and no doubt looked, like shit. There were bits of vomit in her hair. Gross. And her complexion probably resembled that of a wax figure. Embarrassment snaked through her, which was so messed up. She might be dying, and she was worried about what she looked like in front of Sammy. Talk about screwed up priorities. Sammy's mouth tilted up for a moment before it flattened again. You're not dying, and you look, well, not fine, but not worse than what anyone else in your situation would look like. Shit. She'd voiced her thoughts out loud. Her day kept getting worse and worse. What time is it? Hopefully, she had time to shower. Even if she didn't, she had to shower. She couldn't walk out of the house like this. A little past 8. Olivia squawked in dismay. I'm late. By the time she showered, got dressed, and hoofed it to the office, it'd be well into the workday. She grabbed Sammy's hand. Phone call, she wheezed. He knew what she was asking before she spelled it out. No, he said. You're sick. You can't even stand, much less go to work. Can too, Olivia pushed herself off the ground.